It is time to bring in Jim Lynch at Cover Your Assets. Jim, of course, joins us on a weekly basis. He is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, and politics, bringing well over 40 years of experience to those subjects and more. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring to you the voice of Jim Lynch. Hi, hey, Jim.
Good morning. Jill, good morning, everybody out there. Happy Hanukkah.
Yeah, that's right. This is, the third day? I think so.
Better the third day than the last day.
That's exactly right. Now, I wanted to speak to you about something here, Jim. I'm gonna hijack and I'm gonna lead you into something because I think you're gonna speak about this anyway. George Bush. My impressions of George Bush are the following. He's a man who was elected president after serving eight terms as the vice president with Ronald Reagan. He's a man that, to get elected, bent a certain platform constrictions of the Republican Party. But he's a man, over years, who adapted and changed and grew as a person, not only while he was president, but after he was president. And I, for one, am sorry to see the likes of George Bush fade away because, there's a lot of people out there that say, well, you know, everybody's talking nice about George Bush. What about when he was against gay rights? What about when he was against abortion? What people don't realize is that people change and grow as even politicians. And if you look at the whole body of George Bush's life and accomplishments, he corrected, to me, whatever errors I saw possibly in his political platforms. But when you look at the body of work that the man did in his life, how can you not say this is a man who really did give his life in service to his country?
And if you can't say that, I mean, all you really have to do is look at his children. But this is what baffles me, since everybody asked. What baffles me is why you bring politics in. When you are celebrating, honoring, respecting, whatever-ing someone's life because they are no longer with us, why do you minge about the politics that you disagreed with? I mean, politics, really, it's not the be-all and end-all.
He was president of the United States. He was president of the United States, and every bit of adulation and every bit of pomp and circumstance and ceremony that is going through now, he deserved just for being president. But then when you add the totalness of his commitment to this country, it's inconceivable of me how you can want to deny any of it.
Marshall, well said, beautifully said, and the idea of adapt and change and grow as a person is really kind of a goal that we all should have for ourselves, but it is well said about this man. He did that all of his life, and he did make mistakes. And if there's anybody who can stand up and say they haven't, fine. But he did certain things that really went to the heart of our democracy, of our values. At 18 years of age, coming from a well-to-do family, he probably would have been drafted, maybe he wouldn't have. But at 18, he volunteered and went into the U.S. Navy. He became a fighter pilot. During a mission in the Pacific, he was shot down. He lost two of his plane mates. He was in a raft waiting for help, waiting for the Japanese to kill him in the raft. Thankfully, a sub came along and took him back to base. After going through the hospital, they said, okay, you can go home now. And this man, this young man, George Bush said, no, my mission is not accomplished. The war is not over. He stayed on, and he did 58. That's 58 missions during the Second World War. Now, that is an American hero, a man who did not step away as the fire was going on, but rather continued to be within the fight.
You know, Jim, I'm glad you point this out. You and people, I try to point this out to people when they start complaining. I'll take the Kennedys and I'll take the Bushes as matriotic families of this country. And you can follow the timelines of either family, okay? And there are ups and downs and ins and outs. There are wrongs, there are rights. But these two families, the Bushes and the Kennedys, for all their maybe faults, for all their fragileness, these two families have dedicated a substantial portion of their life in service to this country, and you cannot separate George Bush from John Kennedy or any Bush from any of the Kennedys, whether you agree with their politics or not, because they could have sat on their duffs and done nothing for their lives, but they gave service to this country.
And again, to reinforce, Marshall, the point that you're making that's truly incredible is, you know, people aren't their politics. Politics is something else. Right. Politics is politics.
What you do with your life, and these families, most of the members of the families have given their life in service to this country.
Again, well said. Service. Service to their country. All of the folks you've just referenced in politics, the Bushes and the Kennedys, could have just enjoyed their lives in whatever way they did without stepping into the cauldron of politics, which is full of conflict, problems, challenges, on and on. It's not something you had to do, but it's something these people felt they must do, because my sense of them, they felt they must give back. They must give back the largesse they received when they came into this world. And George Bush epitomizes that as a soldier, as a government person in the CIA, as a senator, as a House member, as a vice president, as a president. The key thing is some people feel he's much the patrician. He is truly more of a man of the people than most presidents, actually, in his way of making people feel special, being generous with his time. A couple of things, when he was leaving some very fancy political event, there was a motorcade waiting for him, and they had to go back and get him because he was in the process of consoling someone who was losing someone to cancer. This was the kind of guy this man was and is the spirit of America. And as he passes, my hope is that we step up to the plate and recognize that we are losing a person, but we're not losing the spirit if we just accept and understand. George Bush was great, fantastic, at crossing the aisle politically. He did it to keep the country together because he saw what a war does to people, a war that he fought in and came out of. And he knew that if we divided ourselves, we could not be as strong as we need be to take on the challenges of the future. And so he dedicated himself to knowing people from both sides and working with them the best he could. And he did that with our allies, be they the Chinese or the British. He did it in every manner. I want to point out something now that we're really so engaged in the Middle East. George Bush, when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, said, "Look, get out. I'm serious." Well, Hussein didn't. So what did George Bush do? He and Jim Baker worked hand in glove to create a huge allied force to deal with this problem in Kuwait. They went in, they took the Kuwait back, Saddam went home, And according to game plan, Bush and the Allies left. They didn't re-engage and didn't set themselves up as targets. By the way, George Bush, in his way of managing things and having people help him as he helped them, that war in Kuwait was paid for not just by us, but by our allies. This was a masterstroke in what international relationships are all about. And he did helped increase the confidence of our allies by that venture. We need to call upon that again as we go through this very challenging time. That song, "We Need Each Other," that is true in every facet of our lives. We need each other to enjoy what's going on. We need each other to help us through the tough times.
And what's equally important to recognize at this time is that, George Bush's press coverage wasn't particularly friendly. And
And he was never antagonistic towards the press. He realized what the press's duty was.
And he was exactly. And although he made his displeasure with whoever known.
But he still recognized
but
what
the
their
other
job
thing
was.
That is really I think interesting is how politics, if you will, or how the election process changed at the because as the campaign between George Bush and Bill Clinton got underway.
But Jim, and one thing I can point out here: here was a man who, when he was nominated, made the statement, "Read my lips, no new taxes." In the middle of his first term, he realized that that couldn't be done, and instead of sticking with straight politics, he knew he was giving up his second term when he allowed taxes to be raised because it just had to be done. He knew at that point that he was giving up the presidency, and he did it anyway. He went through with something that was better for the country that he knew would cost him the election in the long run. And it finally turned out he only ended up getting 32% of the vote because when he raised taxes, a third-party candidate came in. A lot of very, very conservative Republicans didn't go to the polls, and he was defeated. And the handwriting was on the wall, and he still did the right thing in that case.
I remember that time very well because I was writing a printed newsletter at the time, and I referenced that many times. This was a profile in courage when he stepped up and he raised taxes as he put country first. And that was George Bush, country first. CNN, I'm certain all of the networks, but they have tremendous footage on George Bush and his life and his times, and his being a great family man, and on and on and on and on. My hope would be that some, maybe Netflix, maybe it's a couple of billionaires, they put together the real life clips of this man in action politically and personally, and get it out and offer it to our schools so that children might, as part of a social studies class, if there's such a thing anymore, look at this man and be given a chance to evaluate what an American president is all about, what a great U.S. citizen is all about. We sorely need that this example be given and explained to our young people, because as Bush has slipped away, as he was slipping away, we've been slipping away from the values that have made us great. And we're going to get it back. And this is a way I think we could get it back, by pointing to our heroes in the government, and helping people understand the government is for the people. Unlike what we've been seeing, the government is for the people, not any one set of people. I personally, I certainly you all, wish George Bush a fond farewell, but great gratitude in our hearts for what he's brought us by dedicating his life to public service.
Just think back, Jim, over we won't include, we'll stop, even though Richard Nixon, I hate to grudgingly admit this, did some very great things for this world and this country, he had a problem with the press and power. But if you go from there, you go from Jimmy Carter, who was heavily criticized by the press, to Ronald Reagan, who was heavily criticized by the press, to Bill Clinton,
to George Bush,
who were they were heavily criticized by the press, and even take Barack Obama, who was criticized by the press. Not one of them, Republicans, Democrats, liberals, conservatives, took the media or to task as a bad thing. They might not have liked what happened. Ronald Reagan was very familiar for saying, well, there you go again. He might have disagreed with what was being said, but they all realized there was a duty with the press to do what they did. Remember Sam Donaldson just haranguing every president
Donaldson and Rupert Murdoch have the same birthday. I've always loved that.
But you know, when a president would come out in the Rose Garden and do something totally different, Donaldson would start shouting out these questions. Do you remember that, Jim?
Yeah. Oh, man.
they
knew we had to have a fourth estate, which is our press, and they honored that. They honored that as people who were serving the people, because this is for the people. We need a free press to check all of the branches of government. We need a free press to enable us to grow in terms of what we're doing in this world, what we're doing in this country, and what the rest of the world is doing. But it's the free press is primarily important to our freedom generally. If you look at any authoritarian government, the first thing that goes is the free press. And so our children should be taught to treasure it, to treasure this freedom, to understand they must be objective. They must edit. They must corroborate the information. But they cannot get into this, oh, they're terrible. Nothing is terrible. It's your attitude towards it. There's something there that you need to dissect and find out. Even the worst of things, you can turn around and say, it's a challenge to something, and we've got to deal with it. But we cannot give up our consciousness in terms of what the free press is all about.
And speaking of which, and speaking of attitude, I just saw this in one of the millions of newsletters that I get. This is the Morning Media Letter, and it's talking about something that WNYC Radio is debuting, and it's a podcast. And the podcast is called 10 Things That Scare Me. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, you want to create a sense of positivity and power. And I don't know how 10 things that scare me is particularly helpful.
I just think, Jim, what we have to look back at now is that young people, people that are coming out of grammar school, into high school, into college, look at people, whether you agree with their politics or not, like George Bush, like Barack Obama, like Ronald Reagan, like Jimmy Carter. These are people that did not, Ronald Reagan did not like big government. He got into big government and he realized, well, all in all, it's not so bad. He worked with it. And here's a guy who was elected on the phrase of, you got to curb big government. He didn't do that. All these presidents had two things in common. They could work within the government. They cherished the separation of powers. Sure, they used certain things to their control to try to change the destiny a little bit, but they all worked within that parameter of allowing the press and the separation of powers. And like I said, we had wealthy people, not wealthy peanut farmers. We had actors. We had civil rights. And you know what? None of them had to run to be president. And they all did. And they all did it for service of country. And that's what we have to reinstill back in our young people, to know that, yes, we can get back there very quickly. And please don't be discouraged. And please get involved in government, because we need government, and we need smart young people moving into those institutions where the great elders are leaving.
Very well said. And they can start by doing service, possibly through a government agency overseas, and go from there as they learn about the world and what they'd like to do to improve the world. I think the idea here is learn, adapt, grow as a country and as people. And as we continue trying to achieve those goals, we will become better as citizens and individuals, and certainly our government will become better.
All right. Well, as a final comment, I guess we can all agree with this. Our condolences to the Bush family and to America, and may he rest in peace.
God bless them all. God bless us, and God bless America. You have a great week. Enjoy the holiday. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch, and to cover your assets this morning. And yes, I know you've heard a lot about George Bush, and you're going to hear it. But you know what? When a president of the United States passes, all the respect. This is what you should
do. It's the respect of the office, and it's what you do, and it's protocol, and people can all learn from it.